ladies and gentlemen, honorable minister, I think we need to, we have to start. It's 10 o'clock. We said our meetings will start at 10. It's 10. Now we are starting. Yeah, today we are receiving the briefing from the Department of Energy, from Minerals and Energy, but vote for energy. This time I will request the members or the presenters from you, Minister, to present quickly. We must be out by 12, we must be finished, because we are still going to prepare ourselves for the debate. Remember, we are receiving the presentation, and the very same day, this afternoon, we are going to debate on the same issue. So we need to have at least an hour to prepare ourselves. That's why I'm saying we must start now and present. You must be quick. You must go straight to your point, but not lose the important issues. Just because you are presenting, it's not as if it's the time that they put us. You are welcome, Honorable Minister, and your team. You members, you are welcome. We are starting our meeting first. I would like to receive the apologies from. Do we have any apologies, Mom Bibi? From your, from our side, we don't have we don't have any apology, because I've received apology for Mr. Matibe, Honorable Matibe, Honorable Lang. That one. Yes. Those are the two apologies from our side. And then, I don't know from you, Minister, do you have any apology? Oh, I will. All of. Okay. I can see you are here. If today you are here, Minister, you are leading the team by yourself. Okay? So it's only two apologies that we receive. Are we accepting those apologies, honorable members? Don't shake your head. Tell me you are accepting or not. When you shake your head, I don't understand what are you saying. You must talk, honorable.
Chairperson, I propose that we accept.
Okay, any seconder for that?
Honorable, I second.
Okay. Honorable Minister, I don't think, because of time, we are not going to introduce ourselves because of time. We don't have time. Because if we can look at who are men in the house, if I can say all of them, they must introduce themselves, we'll waste time. But what we can do, the only key people, like, not necessarily the key, the people that are going to present, they can introduce themselves so that I must not say you, that they, you, mama, you, mama. You must know the people that are going to present. You can introduce them, or you can tell that we're going to introduce them, or to tell whoever to introduce them quickly.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. Thank you very much for the opportunity once again to be part of this meeting. My name is Abane Zulu. I'm DG for Energy under the Department of Minerals Resources and Energy. I would like to introduce, as the Chairperson has requested, the presenters for today.
Okay.
From the energy side. It will be myself for part A. And for part B, it will be Lucas Mulaudzi, who's sitting right here. And on financial matters, it will be our acting CFO, Elizabeth Marawa, who's also sitting. meeting that size. Those will be the only three presenters, and I'm sure that will achieve your objective of being time conscious for this session. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Minister.
Thanks, Mr. Zul. Okay. From our side, my name is Teboho Modise, the chairperson of this committee.
I'm Lindwe Pipi, Mangumalo, at the whip of this committee.
Thanks.
Jomo Nyambi, member of the committee.
This is a member, Honorable Ngwenya. She's from Gauteng. Mama Bibi, she's from KwaZulu-Natal. Dade Nyambi from Mpumalanga. Yes, Mr. Honorable.
My name is Mlindi Nana. I'm a member of this committee. I'm from the Eastern Cape.
My name is Armand Skluta. I'm a member of this committee, and I'm from the Free State.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Arnold. I'm a member of the committee and from the Western Cape.
Now we are starting. Okay. Without wasting any time, Honorable Minister, Kindate Samson Gwere Mantashe, the Minister for Department of Mineral and Energy. Samson.
Yes, Chief. Yes. Samson Gwere, SG. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, the team from DMRE, who are here in full force. As you can see, this row and the next row is all of us. I think I will just make a brief introduction, give to the DG to get into the details. But let me record that I'm told that last week when I went to Namibia, there was a big issue about that. We're very serious about our work as a department, national and international, in all the seven priorities given by the president. One of them is better Africa and better world, which imposes an obligation on us to do international work in Namibia to deal with Africa's diamond trading countries. So that was important. It's not because the NCOP is less important. And I want to advise you, Honorable Chairperson, never demand your importance. Because if we give it to you because you are demanding, it is not important. It is artificial. Never demand it. We respect this house. We respect this committee. And we'll do everything to make it work. Now, if I'm not there, the DM is here. And it doesn't mean that we are understating the department, the committee. That is very important to me. I should correct that first. I can see you're shaking your head. You agree in Japanese. Okay. You agree with me in Japanese. So you shake your head. Hey, dear. She's agreeing with me in Japanese. She shakes his head like this. Yes, yes. Okay. I'm exactly where you were last week. Mama Mutisa, let's go and up, because let's go and it will cut both ways. Okay, it will cut both ways. Don't say when we come here and the DM is here, you go to town and attack that. Why is the minister not here? Stop that. It's not correct.
Minister,
okay, let me get to the issue.
Minister, before you speak, with due respect, this committee has never said because you are not here, you are not taking them the serious. We asked, where is the minister? Then they said the minister is in Namibia because he is attending an important thing. Then we said, because he is attending the important thing, it means us, we are not important. Then they corrected us. expectation already the ministers were, had already prepared for that that one. But we have never had an issue about that minister. That's why I'm saying, I don't know, where are you?
I am correcting you as well. They corrected you last week, I'm correcting you now. Yeah. Let me get into the subject of today. DJ Zulu is going to make the presentation. DJ Zulu is going to make the presentation. I will just introduce it briefly, touch on few issues, and put things on record, because the problem is that when you talk here and there is a mic, that thing is on record. It's on record. So we must not play games with each other. It's on record. When it is said here, it's on record. That we're regulars, we don't care. Now, the first thing that we're going to focus on in our APP is the Integrated Resource Plan. We're going to working with neck break speed to finalize it at least by September. We're hoping that by September it will be gazetted for public comment. The importance of the Integrated Resource Plan is that it is a summary of what should we do and give a framework of the energy policy. What are the sources of energy? One of the issues that we're busy correcting was a very polemical debate of counterposing coal to renewables. And we said the department is not a lobby group. It is a department, it is a regulator. We can't lobby for any technology. We want all new technology. Our preoccupation is with energy supply security. That is our preoccupation. For example, let me give you an example, is that in that IRP, you're going to get nuclear, you're going to get coal, you're going to get hydro, you're going to get petroleum, you're going to get renewables, wind and solar. You will get all of them integrated resource plan. All of them are there. And our view is that one of the most reckless things we've done, which we must correct quickly, and the department were very alive to that, is we all understand that Kube come to its end of life by 2024, and we're planning to extend that life by another 20 years. And we've identified a vacuum in our policy formulation that we don't say, what do we do with nuclear capacity beyond the 20-year extension of Quebec. And that is going to be tabled as a proposal very soon. Number two, we have a list of power stations that are coal-fired, whose life is coming to an end, particularly between 2030 and 2040. Many of them are going to come to the end of their life, but in the debate, we are not saying how are we going to replace that capacity and start working on it now. Because if we don't, we're going to do what we did with Medupi and Kusile. At the tail end of the period leading to the bill program, we start the bill program very late. Our argument is that we must talk about that bill program now, and we put it in place in time. That is the second area. The third area is petroleum and petroleum products. We remain a net importer of refined petroleum products and diesel, as well as petrochemicals. As government, we believe that investing in a new crude oil refinery and associated petrochemical plant is necessary. That's why we're agreeing that the proposal by Saudi Aramco to build a refinery in Richards Bay, our view, think is the correct issue to do. I can also put it on record that I received quite a number of serious angry messages that you're taking the refinery from Kuka to Richards Bay is terrible behavior. And I say, even an investor say, I'm prepared to invest in a refinery in Richards Bay. We either reject that proposal or accept it. If we're accepting it, we must run with it. We can't continue discussing post the point of the proposal by an investor. Because the next time we have that investment will be in Kenya or in Uganda, somewhere else where it is easy to do business with a country. So we are convinced that it's a correct decision to accept that proposal by Aramco. We must work with them. That refinery must be built. Equally, we think it is a correct decision for us to say in Muga we must have liquid to gas facilities so that we develop that industry in South Africa and want to get into the work immediately on that. The fuel price mechanism, we're looking into revising it. For example, we think that it was last visited in 2004, and we need to revisit it now and ensure that petrol and fuel prices are not hurting the poor. And therefore, one of the issues that we're raising is whether we should be announcing petrol price movements every month, or should we manage it over a period of time and announce it from time to time. It's not policy yet. We're just tabling to you things that we're looking at in terms of what we want to do. We want to finalize the regulatory framework for biofuels. If we move with the necessary speed there, we'll revive our sugar cane industry. If we are not moving, it's going to die slowly. And it will also help revitalization of the sugar beet industry on the Great Fish River in Kredo. And we think that if we move with necessary speed, we'll actually revive an industry that is critical for us to move. The Integrated National Electrification Program, we are beginning to raise a question. We are given a budget, but we don't execute. We must give that money to either ESCOM or local government for implementation of the electrification program. We are beginning to raise the question of how efficient and effective that is. Why should we not direct that fund direct to the projects and cut the middle person and save the money and have a bigger number of connections with that amount? The question of skills and education, it's quite a serious department. I can tell you that I've just moved into that department where a week of students under one roof in Turkeys from the coastal provinces, in that this department offered 57 bursaries with the potential of offering more. Because we're looking into the amounts that are allocated. For example, let me give you one example. To give a child 160,000 rand a year is quite extraordinary. And as far as giving a child 90,000 a year, and they study and it's comfortable. If you give 160,000 a year to every student, you are actually creating a new environment. I can share that with experience that I had. When you give your own child more money than required, you are creating a new problem of a child who will drink and get exposed to drugs. And we say we must be tighter with that allocation. It may not be the 90,000 that NFS is giving. You can give 10,000 more, but you must be tighter on that. But this department is contributing tremendously in that issue. The other issue that we're focusing on is SOE boards. There are gaps in our SOE boards in the department. Many of them are interim boards, acting CEOs, almost all of them. It's just like somebody always tells me that we're running a sitting. And it's not a sitting, we're correcting that. You would have seen last week we have advertised for the board of CEF last Sunday. You would have seen that we're beginning to move on that because our belief is that it is risky not to have boards, and if we want to actually mitigate operational and financial risk, the starting point is correcting governance. Once you have governance, you will correct the other risk. And therefore, the outstanding forensic audit on strategic stock, we have finalized that. The final report we're having, we're looking at it, we're going to act on it. At this point in time, we're still studying it. We're going to deal with that issue. I think as an introduction of the issue, just to give you a heads up, NERSA, those are the institutions we're running. NERSA is our institution. Let's start with NEXA. NEXA is the one that is responsible for nuclear. It is having two subsidiaries, NTP, which is producing radioisotopes, and we're having Pelcam, which is producing ARVs. The former is doing relatively well, except when it is closed for long periods. It was closed from operation for between 15 and 18 months. And our view is that when you close an entity that produces strategic products to the market instead of a sizable market share and you close it for 15 months, you are creating an environment for competitors beginning to look for substitutes or have new entrants developing that product, and you are likely to lose your market share on that. So we're looking into that. We're having serious discussion with the whole chain on that issue. Pelcam is supplying ARVs, but it is not making money. And our question was, why is it not making money? It should be making money. And we look at what is produced in MinTech and said, can we have them talking together and see if we can mass commercialize many of the products that are produced at MinTech. We have the Central Energy Fund, which is Petro SA subsidiary. It is Strategic Fuel Fund is a subsidiary. It is having a PASA. It is having IGAS and African Exploration Mining Finance Company, which is the state mining company. With the National Nuclear Regulator, which is regulating nuclear overall and safety in particular. Then we have NERSA, which is a National Energy Regulator of South Africa. At this point in time, the gap that is there is that we don't have a full-time regulator for electricity. That is a weakness. We have three full-time regulators for the various sectors. We don't have one for electricity. And we're paying attention to that. And Sanedi is working with Council for Geoscience to do what we call carbon capture and deposit. That is movement towards cleaner energy technology. The National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, those are the institutions that are under our jurisdiction. And I'm handing over to the DG because he is operational and he knows these things in detail. I'm very superficial, but fine. There you are. DG? No one did.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Minister, DM, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. We'll try to be as short as possible as the Chairperson has indicated. We have submitted the information. I'm sure you'd have seen that the issues have covered in Part A. It's mainly to provide you with the background of the department. I think maybe to emphasize that the department was established in 2009, which was formerly known as Minerals and Energy and Energy.
Now we are going through the same period as you all know about. So I would like rather than to waste time, I'm sure we'd have gone through that. We have seen the legislation that are covering. We have also seen how the department is established currently, which is very important. And some of the changes, again, are going to be affecting this particular structure that you see in front of you, which is reflecting how we are done. So I wouldn't like to spend time and go into our strategic plan objectives that you have seen there, but it's important to understand that our main strategic objective was to promote energy security through reliable, clean, and affordable sources. That is why the minister was emphasizing the importance of integrated resource plan, because the aggregation of those resources is done through a proper integrated resource plan. Without that, it becomes difficult for the department to plan appropriately and to make sure that in our APP we cover those areas in terms of where we want to perform. So when we cover our APP program, which Mr. Mlaotse will deal with in Part B, it will be reflecting on those strategic objectives that we have set for ourselves. So without wasting your time, Chairperson, I would like to hand over to Mr. Mlaotse to deal with the APP component, and thereafter the acting CFO to deal with the financials. I'm sure that will cover your time that you have given to us. Mr. Mlaotse.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, ministers, DMs, DGs, and colleagues. The department comprises of six programs. I'm going to deal with program number one, which is the administration. The program administration comprises of smaller units, i.e. there's a ministry, departmental management, finance, audit services, corporate services, and also governance and compliance. All these programs are providing support to line function for the purposes of line function to be able to can deliver its mandate. Conclusively, in terms of what these programs done combined is that they provide overall management as well as administration of the department, but they also ensure that state-owned entities that report to the...
No, don't be emotional. What is your problem? Because I want to be directed to a slide. Which slide are we on? What is your problem? Why don't you allow me the chance to talk? You don't know what I was going to say. Already you are trying to suppress me. What? You haven't even started when I came. The presentation was not... What is your problem? To be taken to a slide. Which slide are we on? That was it. Heaven, the emotions are fruvial.
Thank you, Chair. We're dealing with Part B. It should be reading as slide number 18. Part B, 2019 Annual Performance Plan. And then the next slide that I'm going to be zooming into is slide number 19. Slide number 19 is giving you a summary of the sub-programs within Program 1, which is administration, which are inter alia the ministry, departmental management, finance administration, audit services, corporate services. In slide number 20, I'm going to inclusively read the purpose, which is the overall management and administration of the department, but also ensuring that state-owned entities that report to the department comply with good governance principles, standards, and etc. All in all, what we do in terms of administration, which is program one, conduct political oversight and accountability to Parliament, provide guidance and direction for the department and strategic plans, annual performance plans for the department and its public entities. Every year the department has to develop the APP, but at the same time, the entities also have to produce their own, you call them corporate plans or annual performance plan, which have to go via the ministry to Parliament. But it also ensures the support and insurance of corporate governance practices by entities like the minister would have alluded to earlier on in terms of enhancing and improving corporate governance as well as mitigating risks that are existing in our SOEs. It continues to say this program also coordinates the engagement with entities through the management structures. There are various structures within the entities itself, the boards, the audit committees, and etc., but they are being also coordinated by the SOE oversight within the administration component. But we also submit these annual plans to Parliament, like I've alluded to earlier. At the same time, we engage with relevant stakeholders in terms of soliciting the applied, but also taking into account the things that needs to be done as we improve our governance and policies. We advance the energy agenda with the rest of the world. Like the Minister of Energy preamble indicated that he was somewhere last week at the time when the sitting was convened here. The next program is Program 2, which is on slide number 22. Program 2 is Energy Policy and Planning. This program, the purpose is to ensure evidence-based planning, policy setting, investment decisions in the energy sector to improve the security of energy supply, regulation, and competition. In terms of its strategic objectives, it stands to improve energy security, to improve liquid fuel energy security, but also to develop policy and regulations that ensures the security of supply. It's also responsible for the review of electrical infrastructure required for the universal access to electricity, and also ensure security of supply through provisioning of additional power. In terms of the targets, which is on slide number 23, for policy and planning, these are the targets that will be delivered this year by this program. To generate and publish the annual energy balance report, but also at the same time, there is a plan to generate and produce the gas strategy report in this financial year. The gas amendment bill will be certified by the state law advisor as one of our targets from energy and planning, from policy and planning. Biofuels regulator framework as well will also be gazetted. And proposals of the end state of the electricity sector will be produced. Proposals on the National Energy Regulator Bill will be certified as well by the state law advisor. The Municipal Asset Management Program rollout framework will be finalized. Negotiations of the offtake agreement with the project developer will also be concluded. That was slide number 23, Chairperson. I move to slide number 24, that speaks to program number 3. The name of the program is Petroleum and Petroleum Products Regulation. The aim of the program is to regulate the petroleum and petroleum product industry to ensure the optimal and orderly functioning of the petroleum industry to achieve government's developmental goals. This program, in executing its responsibilities, it comprises of the following sub-programs. The first program being the Petroleum Compliance Monitoring and Enforcement, Petroleum Licensing and Fuel Supply, Fuel Pricing, as well as Regional Petroleum Regulation Offices. In other words, in the various provinces, we do have offices that are standing there as our ambassador in terms of petroleum related issues by way of receiving and addressing queries that relate to petroleum products, including licenses. The program, in terms of its objectives, is to ensure compliance monitoring and enforcement in the petroleum sector, but also to promote the transformation of the South African petroleum and liquid fuel industry through issuing of licenses, and lastly, to promote petroleum licensing. The targets, the things that we're going to produce through this program is conduct 1,500 retail site compliance inspections. Secondly, 1,080 fuel samples will be tested, and 50% of applications approved to make sure that they have a minimum of 50% of historically disadvantaged South Africans' ownership. Now, the next slide that follows, Chair, it gives you the idea in terms of the targets that I've alluded to earlier. You will see that it says 1,500, but you can see the distribution in terms of where the inspections and how many are going to be done. You've got Limpopo, 200 inspections, Eastern Cape, 200, Free State 200, Gauteng 300, KZN 160, Mpumalanga 200, Northwest 150, and then Northern Cape 30, lastly Western Cape 60. Now they speak to that target of 1,500 inspections conducted in the service stations. That is that as far as that is concerned. And then you have fuel sampling, which is another target that I've alluded to earlier. It tells you where and how many are going to be done. In total is 1,080. Distribution in terms of the provinces, Limpopo 120, Eastern Cape 120, Free State 120, Gauteng 120, KZN 120, Mpumalanga also 120. It goes with those 120 Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, up to Western Cape, then making a total of 1,080. The next program will be Program 4. The name of the program is Electrification and Energy Program and Projects. The purpose of this program is to manage, coordinate, and monitor programs and projects focused on access to energy. This program does its work through the following sub-programs, of which the first one is Integrated Electrification, the second one is Energy Regional Offices, the third one, Program and Projects Management Office, and then we've got the program responsible for, a sub-program responsible for electrification infrastructure, industry transformation, community upliftment, and programs and projects. The objectives of this program are as follows: to ensure access to electricity by households, to enhance program and project management, but also to monitor infrastructure development. We've got allocations of resources that as a department we also transfer to entities such as to municipalities as well as to ESCOM. You can see on slide 30, those are the plans in terms of the money that will be going to municipalities for connections. Eastern Cape, there is an allocation of 387 million for 14,000 connections. Free State, it has got 89 million for 3,105 connections. Gauteng, 110 for 3.3, KwaZulu-Natal, 410 million for 18,900. Limpopo has got 246 million, 548 for 13,363. Mpumalanga has got 193. Those are the allocations, the budget, as well as the number of connections. Mpumalanga, 193 for 4.5. Northern Cape, 172, 5.2. Northwest, 102 for 3.9. Western Cape, 149 for 4.4. Now, that is the total in terms of 1,863,000,000, as well as 71,947 connections. There is a note there that says this allocated budget includes both household connections and bulk infrastructure projects. The number of household connections for KZN are preliminary figures due to some municipalities finalizing their project list, but I'm sure we should be able to can finalize that as we present our quarterly performance information to Parliament. Allocations to ESCOM, Eastern Cape, 831,044,900. Free State, 79,3000. Gauteng, 226, 11,000. KwaZulu-Natal, 871, 45.4. Limpopo, 453, 26. Mpumalanga, 393, 16. Northwest, 290, 16.5. Western Cape, 97, 9.2. There we've got 3.3. And then the total connection makes 177,000. Now, if I may, Chair, I'll go further to program number 5. Which is nuclear energy. The purpose of the branch is to manage the SA nuclear energy industry, control nuclear material in terms of international obligations, nuclear legislation and policies to ensure peaceful use of nuclear energy. This program executes its mandate through the following sub-programs. The first one, nuclear safety and technology, nuclear non-proliferation and radiation, security nuclear policy. The strategic objective is to improve improve security of energy supply, to strengthen control of nuclear material and equipment, but also improve nuclear safety and security. Planned targets, we are seeing 70% of authorization applications received will be processed within 8-week period. We further saying draft decommissioning and decontamination policy will be submitted to cabinet. The National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Act will also be submitted to cabinet. And then a draft waste management fund bill will also see its way. The last program, which is clean energy program number 6. This program seeks to manage and facilitate the development and implementation of clean and renewable energy initiatives, as well as energy and demand-side management initiatives. It comprises of the following sub-programs: energy efficiency, renewable energy, climate change, environmental compliance, and designated national authority. These are the objectives of this program. One, implementation of the energy efficiency demand side management across all sectors, coordinated and monitored. Ensure effective renewable energy. Implementation of energy-related climate change responses measured, and environmental compliance coordinated and monitored. We also do the measurement, reporting, and verification system of climate change parameters. The targets are as follows for Program 6. 0.5 terawatt per hour of energy savings will be realized and verified from the energy efficiency demand-side management projects. Energy consumption baselines will be developed from 15 additional municipalities. You'll see the slide as I proceed in the spaces where these solar water geysers will be distributed. Draft renewable energy technology roadmap will be completed. We will produce a report on the installation of 87,000 solar water heater baseline system in 19 municipalities. The annual compliance report on the third Environmental Management Plan edition will be approved. Chair, honorable members, you can see the distribution of those targets that we're talking about in terms of the rollout of the solar water. So I am sure members will be able to peruse that, but that, Chair, that is in essence the targets that have been stated in our APP as far as the provision of security of supply is concerned. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, Minister, I would like to proceed to the financial information, which is the last part of our presentation.
Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the NCOP, the DGs and colleagues, I'm going to present the financials of the department. The department has been allocated about 7.4 million, and over 90.9% of the budget is going to be transferred to our entities, municipalities, and ESCOM for service delivery purposes. Of that 7.4 million, about 6.1 million effectively will be transferred. The transfers are going to go to municipalities,
and ESCOM for electrification program, as my colleague has already indicated, and each province has been allocated a specific amount to be executed by either ESCOM and the municipality. Then besides the transfer to the municipality and ESCOM, we also have funds transferred to our entities.
I'm sorry, Chair. For please, you'll have to prepare with me, Chair. Is it million or billion?
It's billion.
Yeah, I thought it was much because it's confusing. Thank you.
Thank you. So I can start. The actual allocation for the department for this financial year is 7.4 billion. You understand? Okay. Thank you, ma'am. The decrease in the allocation is 1.76%, which is equivalent to a net reduction of 1.33 million. That reduction in allocation has mainly been felt in the compensation of employees within the different programs of the department. So you will see that in the energy policy and planning is a reduction of 2.78%. In the programs and projects, it's 1.54%. In the electrification program, it is about 5.37%, and in nuclear, it's an increase of 20%, and clean energy, a net reduction of 0.44%. Then in terms of the different programs, I've already indicated, most of the reduction has been for compensation of employees, with the exception for the program 4, where the reduction has mainly been on the INEP program, that is the allocation going to municipalities and the allocation going to ESCOM. However, the net reduction of the allocation or the transfers to municipalities, part of it has been allocated to human settlement for the use of electrification of informal settlements, particularly in different metros. And in the part of the net reduction from the transfers has also been moved to NEXA, and part of that money will be used for the decommissioning activities at the NEXA. And part of it has been used to increase the budget for the National Nuclear Radioactive Agency to be used to increase its structure and to make sure that it operates more effectively. The slide number 42 just gives you the different figures that I have already explained and the reductions, and I've already given the details of how the reductions have been explained. Slide number 43 gives you the overview of the allocation, as I've indicated, that 90.9% goes to transfer and 9.09% of the budget is for operations. Under normal circumstances, usually 10% of the budget ought to be used for administering the fund, but we have a reduction of 0.9%, which has been reflected in the differences in reduction of compensation of employees for the different programs, and I've given the percentage decreases across the board. The budget is actually, when you look at the 2018-2019 final budget allocation, we've had an increase of 3.8%, but if you look at the indicative budget allocation, which takes into consideration inflation, we have a net reduction of 133.6 million, which is effectively a net reduction of 1.76, and I've explained the specific reasons. Of the increase that we have received, we have been allocated money, which is about 15.17 million, which will be used for the implementation of, which will be actually used for the National Electrification Plan, and also contribution to our accommodation and CETA licenses. Then in terms of the transfer payment, I've already indicated that there is a net reduction of 2.1% from the baseline, and part of it is coming from the INEP allocation and the ESCOM allocation. And that money has been split into three, one going to human settlement, one going to NEXA, and one another amount going to NRUAD, which is effectively NRUAD will receive 4 million, NEXA will receive 170 million and the difference goes to human settlement. In a nutshell, that is how our budget has been allocated, and I have already indicated as well that in going forward, the increase, percentage increase in the budget is going to be increasing at a decreasing rate, which basically means we are not going to have an effective substantial increase in our budget, and we have to continue to manage with less. And this is due to the prevailing economic environment. And that is reflected for all the 2019-20, 2020-21, and 2021-22. I thank you.
Acting CFO. Now I'm giving you members to ask questions. Honorable Smith, Honorable Nyandi, and Honorable Sudet, and Honorable Nana, and Honorable Ngwenya
Arnold.
Yes, Honorable Arnold.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Firstly, I want to apologize for being late. They've closed off my parking. They're busy with technical work at the bottom, so I was struggling to get other parking. And then secondly, I didn't know we have a new Honorable Member Nandi in the house. okay, Honorable Chair, pardon me if you know I ask questions that was covered while I haven't been for that period. I haven't been here. I might have missed it, and this is quite a new portfolio as well. You know. So if I'm asking funny questions, don't wonder why. Chair, firstly, I want to know in terms of the allocation of budgets or funds towards municipalities. It's something that I've picked up in other departments as well. You know that sometimes there's a lack of proper control over that and the spending and whatever. So can the department maybe just brief us in terms of that conditional grants, if I can, I assume it's conditional grants, that, you know, are there municipalities, are there problem areas where it's being misspent or where there's not proper accountability that's been picked up so that we can address that? Because I think that's one of our big mandates of as the NCOP. Is to address exactly that DORA, you know, in terms of the DORA bill. The second thing is, and that's what I'm not sure whether it has been represented or presented in the committee earlier, is the IRP, the Integrated Resource Plan. Is that available? So, you know, so that we know, you know, in terms of that energy security. And then I want to know, in terms of the probe into the national fuel reserves that was being sold off, you know, what, how far are we with that? You know, what is the status of that? And then how far are we from recovering and re-establishing a proper, sufficient reserve for the country? You know, if there's some problem, you know, with supply from outside, will we be able to? So I want to know the status of that specifically. Thank you, Chair. I'll stop with that.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first welcome the presentation. Don't change my surname, Honorable Smith. Maybe start with the part of that was presented by minister. But I'll remark first that minister, as a select committee, were even mindful that sometimes both yourself and the deputy might not be available to have the DG. And as far as I'm concerned, last week, the issue of the apology was presented by the DM. It was accepted by the meeting, and that is why it went very well. So it was not an issue that made us to have a problem. And if a committee has got a problem, sometimes they will even chase the department. But the DG and the DM presented the importance of the meeting that you're attending, probably in Namibia, and the meeting accepted that. So we're even mindful that there are instances where you might find that the DM will be somewhere and will be somewhere and will have a DG. And we'll continue with our work as long as we're going to be able to get to the bottom of whatever that we're dealing with. The second issue in relation to what you have presented, Minister, it's a question. As a house that is not going to just do a duplication of what is happening in the National Assembly as a select committee, because we are representing provinces, we want to comment when things are very fine and to be critical and raise problems where there are problems. You presented the issue of 57 students. It will be good for us as NCOP to have something that will reflect the spread of those students in terms of the allocation to the different provinces, so that we might not find a situation where you have 57 coming from one province. I want to see somebody coming from Engqoba, Eastern Cape, Kamhlabuyalingana, KZN, Embuzini, in Mpumalanga, so that I can see what I'm representing in this house. The third one is the issue of the SOE boards. If we can have a sense of a time frame so that we can be able to do that oversight. Once you say you have a Hollywood, a lot of people are acting, or it's Mvango, then give us an indication of a time frame so that once that time frame is not adhered to, then we're able to say what is the problem so that we can assist. The fourth one is the outstanding, it's linked to what has been raised by Honorable Smith, the outstanding forensic audit. It's also, you have it now, so that as members of this select committee must not bombard you with questions. Probably get a sense that after this time, then it might be an appropriate time that we have dealt with it and we are going to be making it to the public. Let me comment the part the DM that we have raised last week of reflecting the issue of provincial interest. It was so interesting to see how the slides that we're dealing with, the retail site inspection per province, the fuel sampling per province, the municipal stand per province, including the ESCOM plans. So once we know what is happening in our different provinces, so it's making us not to repeat what has happened in the National Assembly, because it becomes more of a duplication, but it makes it to be more relevant to us, which will lead me to my last question, the issue of municipalities participating in the National Solar Water Heater Program. According to the slide, it was good you are indicating all the provinces and the municipalities, but there were only two. There are only seven provinces, with the exception of the one that I'm representing, Mpumalanga and Free State. So what is the situation of the two? Why are they not part of this very important program, so that we can understand the situation without being critical, because we don't have the facts? But be that as it may, it was a very good presentation that is giving us an indication, especially the part that is always dealing with our provinces. But I will emphasize that probably in future, even locate it to a municipality, because we have, as members of parliament, constituency offices, I must be able to go where you say there's this thing that is happening, so that when I come here, I ask a question out of an information that I've checked when I was doing constituency work. But once you have something that will always give the distinction of the two houses, it will make our life to be much more easier. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, the difficulty of talking after two brilliant minds is that, you know, they steal some of the issues. But I'm getting paid to speak. I'll have to come up with, you know, I'll have to concord a story. No, on a serious note, Chair. Well, Minister, thanks very much for the presentation, and I am pleased to note that at least we are not taking everything away from the Eastern Cape. The liquid to gas facility will remain in Bucha. The second issue, Chairperson, is the cost of energy. And again, I'm mindful of the fact that this issue, I mean, this dysfunction resides with NERSA. The cost of energy in the municipalities in particular, those municipalities who source energy from Eskom add a bit of a markup and sell it to the end user. It's virtually impossible in areas like where I'm coming from, for small business to succeed, because the cost of making business becomes exorbitantly high. Amongst other things that contribute to that is the overheads insofar as the cost of energy is concerned. Now this takes me to my point, Chair, that I know Honorable Smith next to me did ask about the integrated resource plan. I would want to expand a bit, Minister. What's the department's future intentions insofar as triple P's are concerned? Because I do want to think that if we open up the energy market and give those role players such as triple P's, we will be able to bring down the cost of energy, allow the triple P's to sell energy directly to municipalities, not via Eskom, and by so doing you will be cutting costs. I wanted to check what's the sense of the department in this regard. Thanks, Chair.
Can I go? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I've never seen so many abbreviations in one piece of paper today, but well done to you guys to know exactly what you're talking about. I just want to know the Integrated National Electrification Program. My mother told me there's no such thing as a stupid question, so I'm going to ask the stupid question. What's the aim of the INEP, or the Integrated National Electrification Program? And you state that you are concerned about the fact that funds are not utilized correctly in Eskom and municipalities. To what degree, or to which degree? And you also speak about business plans to be implemented. Is this already a standard operating procedure, or is this something being planned forward in the INEP?
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the two presentations, the presentation from the Minister Mantashe. I have a question, Chair, that he had said Kubeni nuclear station will reach the end of its design life by 2024. Now, I want to know that are there any plans in place to extend the plan life of Kubeni beyond 2024? Another question to the Minister. I wanted to check in terms of the acting board. that how long have this acting board acting, and is it this post finance, and if it has been financed, then I wanted to know that why there's this acting in terms of this board. Then the question number two is going to Babu Zulu that was doing a presentation in terms of energy. How did the energy sector contribute to the overall economic growth, GDP, in the first quarter of this year? And did the contribution of the energy sector into the GDP decline or increase in the first quarter? If there was a decline, what are the plans of the department to assist the contribution of energy sector to increase? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, the Chairperson. I'm not going to raise the issue about the vacant positions because we know what impact in terms of governance vacant positions has. Some of the members have raised that issue. What I want to raise is the concern that we don't have a full-time regulator for the electricity. That is a concern that I think the minister need to give more details in terms of a weak point that there is in the department. Then the other issue that I want to raise now is in terms of your program, the department program 5, which deals with nuclear energy. Your bullet point 5, 6, and 7, it's good to have your annual plan where you highlight the key challenges and the budget allocations and everything. But in terms of these draft policies and bills, there's no time frame attached, and I think that is important that we also need to have the time frames in terms of the draft decommissioning of these bills and policies. So I think that is important. Then the other issue that I want to raise is on page 17 in terms of the key challenge, lack of specific skills. And that is now with data collection. I think that is also the department needs to give us an indication how they're going to deal with this matter, because this is also important in terms of the administration to deal with data. If there is no skills, it means there's a lack, and how they're going to deal with the matter. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You almost started this meeting with high emotions. I don't know why you are fighting me. I thought we are friends. You know, it's very unfortunate that because we sit in the same committees with Honorable Nyambi, most of the times we'd sit and then go through these documents together. And I would give him my inputs, would come rushing to this meeting and steal my questions and contributions, and then act like he's bookish. That's thievery at its best. But it's okay. I have learned my lesson. I will go through these documents alone from now going forward. But then, like revolutionaries would say, a revolutionary can never leave a meeting without saying anything. Minister, thank you for coming. It's the first time that I see you in this committee. From way back, from even the fifth parliament. But you are. Okay, thank you, Minister. I'm happy that we met on the ground, you and I, during the elections. And you were on the ground making promises to our poor masses.
you also stole our manifesto, and I was happy because it means you are going to implement it. So, stealing our manifesto, I don't have a problem with that. Though plagiarism is criminality. There are communities in Mbash under Elliot Date. I just forgot the specific words, but between 17 and 19, they've never in their lives had electricity. They are not new areas. So I would want you to visit those words. I'm not sure of the specific words, but it's between 17, 18, and 19. Okay, this one. Most of my questions were dealt with. Let me pause there and also emphasize on the issue of the attendance of the minister and the deputy minister. Thank you, ma'am, for honoring us, even in the previous meeting. But what Honorable Nyambi said, don't take advantage and always find excuses not to brace us in these meetings, and only send the departments, the DGs and DPGs, to come and represent the department. It has been a norm in the Fifth Parliament that ministers would not take NCOP serious as compared to the NA. In many select committees, ministers and deputy ministers would always find excuses not to come to committees. But I want to applaud this the Ministry of the Select Committee of Land and Mineral Resources. I thank you.
Honorable Minister, I just want to check, maybe with the presentation, slide number, why is the municipality participating in a solar energy water heater? I just want to check with the minister, which criteria do you use? Are you giving only the municipalities that are in town? Because, for example, the province that I come from is only the township. The municipality, the rural areas are not there. So I just want to check with you. I don't see the poorest of the poor, the municipality like Rathi or Ratlo, you know, people are suffering there. They were the most people that they were supposed to get this solar heater. So, but I see you give them to JB Marks, only Mafikeng and the city of Matlosane. What about the rural areas? Maybe it's your criteria to give towns. And then I just want to check again. I've seen the allocations. What's the slide number? Which slide? I don't understand your... Slide number. Or in the meantime, while I'm still looking for that, Honorable Minister, can you? Can you try to improve? Because previously your department on legislative, they didn't do well. They did poor on legislative. You must try to speed up the process of the policies and the bills. Because previously in the 4th and the 5th Parliament, they missed the deadline. This department. So, slide 26, okay? The one that I wanted to check. Slide 26. I don't understand the difference, because at some point you say the figures, these figures, I don't understand them. You say
for the one million that do.
It's my old notes on
the
it's on the electricity rollout from municipalities and from Eskom.
Hey, I lost my papers, you see? But the figures there, I don't understand them. At some point, the figures are high and the connection are low. For example, in the Northwest, you are saying 14, go again, go back. In the Northwest, where I see, yeah, you see. You see, your budget, sometimes the budget is too high, but the connection is very less. And when you go up, you'll see the budget is less, and then the connection is high, and it's many. So I don't understand how did you do that? Those figures that you put. So maybe you can clarify us, so that we can understand why our figures are high and the connection are less, and connection are high, the budget is less. Vice versa. Yeah. Those are the questions that I want to pose to you. But remember the one of the legislative, Honorable Minister, this one is very serious. This time, I think you are not going to miss a deadline to submit your policy issues. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. We are all going to answer. The minister will speak last. I think let's start with I think with regards to legislations, the department has all kinds of intentions to ensure that we are able to meet the deadlines that are set. In terms of the numbers on the allocations, both on Eskom plans and the municipal plans, they are not as direct as they look, because remember, what was also said as a comment is that all of the connections are not necessarily the households. They are the ones for the new establishments of businesses. So the amounts will not be a case of, say, take the Eastern Cape on the Eskom plans, 831 divided by 44, and get that, I think, roughly about 25,000. So we need a better detail to actually get to know how much do you pay for per connection per house, and when you're doing a business connection, how much do you pay? And I think it's an information that the committee can request. Then when we come for our quarterly reports, we can actually bring it to you. I don't want to speak about the distribution of the solar water. I'll leave the administration to speak about it. I think with regards to the issue of Mbashe, Minister, I think what will be fair is that can the honorable member give us proper, specific details so that at least we can follow up that matter properly. We'll want also to see to it that even if we are unable to put them in the S complaints, but at least they are non-grid solutions as well that we can look into. I don't know. On the INEP program, there's money allocated for that, but we are saying there's too much of a middleman in between us and the customer that must receive the allocation eventually, and there's never going to be consistency of how much you pay per connection, because you send to municipalities and then the municipalities try and locate, and there's no guarantees that when that money is there and there are other issues, you are not going to have that money being used for something else. So our worry is the efficiency when you've released the money, because at some point the electrification program must end, because it have obviously, it will not end, totally end, but it must reduce such that you only deal with new connections of new establishments. The backlog from the apartheid system must at some point die a natural death. Now you can't continually for over so long, you know, pay and you're not, you know, making, well, you're making a difference, but we feel we can make a much better difference. That's why we want to zoom in and look at the possibility of appointing and getting a bit of speed in that particular space and that particular spending, and getting the best out of the money that we put in there. IRP, we are planning to have it gazetted by September. And the question with regards to nuclear, the nuclear power station is going to its end of life 2024, and the plans are that you extend that life further, and beyond that, there's a need, if we are serious about energy security, there's a need to actually get more capacity where nuclear is concerned. And it's not only nuclear, it's also cleaning up your coal. Again, it's energy, it's mixed energy source. It's also cleaning up your coal, because you have about almost 200 years of coal underneath your ground, and you are not going to wish coal away. So at some point, bring technology, particularly because there's already technology to actually deal with the issue of cleaning up coal. It's also the issues of the other energy sources, and including the IPPs. They have a lot of challenges, but we are willing to look in closely into that and see how does that work, such that they are able to also contribute, because the biggest danger for any country is to say we'll elevate this energy source above the other energy sources, because every country that has tried that, they wind up in a space where they are unable to provide energy at all. Other countries were lucky that they had neighboring countries that have, you know, abundance of electricity, and then they will go to the neighbors and be dependent on those neighbors on buying from them. But in the South African context, we the ones that will actually assist the neighbors, and if we make such planning mistakes, I think it will not only be us that suffer in the SADC, it will also be our friends and neighbors that are surrounding us. So it's important that our focus as the country be towards mixing the energy sources, so that you are able to produce security there that is required properly and at an affordable rate. The minister will deal with the issue of the national fuel reserve. I'll leave that for him to actually answer. There's a question. I took my notes back with regards to the question that was asked by Honourable Smith. With regards to conditional grants for municipalities, I can't remember what was the question there. I did make my notes though. In terms of students that are funded by the department on bursaries, and those that participate in the science week, they are distributed at, well. They are. We get them from different provinces. If I could just quickly go through this year's ones, KZN gave us 22, Eastern Cape 11, Western Cape 10, Northern Cape 10, and Gauteng 10. So each year you get different provinces. So each year we take students from 5 provinces. So this year we are taking from these ones. Next year you'll be getting a different set of provinces. Even with the Science Week itself, because the participation there is higher, it's not only the students that got bursaries, it's also other students that are in the science spaces. You find that there's distribution of different groups from different provinces which participate. So it is spread across provinces, and we want to ensure that every single province gets an opportunity, and we'll be ensuring that we are going to the furthest areas from the cities, so that at least the story of mineral resources and energy is not only known to the young people that stay in townships and urban areas, but it's also known from the point of view of young people that are in rural areas. On the issue of bots, our intention is that by end of this year there should be no active in this department. We are giving ourselves enough time because we don't want to believe that the appointments takes just overnight. So it's not just boards alone, it's boards and administration as well. You find that in other institutions or in other state entities, they are acting CEOs, and once you have an acting board, sometimes it has that tendency of just following that, then there will be acting CEOs and acting, and it has been going on for some time. I think the longest acting is that interim arrangement.
Just over 2 years.
Yeah, it's been happening for a long time, and it causes a lot of instability because an acting person will be very limited in terms of what the decisions that they can take and the planning that they can do. So we are going to close that and ensure that everyone is given responsibility and they are able to respond to it. Then I'll leave the rest to the administration, and the minister will answer the political ones for them to answer. In the issue of LNG, and I'm happy that people are happy, Minister. I'm happy. Because the truth is, if we don't take certain opportunities, like the minister was saying, those opportunities pass, and investors don't care what are your current arrangements and what is it that you're trying to do. They look at where they are possibly likely to make money. Let's take this particular example. For instance, that Aramco decision, the investor looks at the fact that the national multi-product pipeline is in Durban, and connecting to that will be easier than trying to get the petroleum products from the Eastern Cape to Gauteng. That's how you know investors will think. For them, what's the easiest way? So they are willing to do that particular investment. Should you be rigid for you to attract investments? No, you must have a bit of flexibility. Obviously, you need to negotiate the best deal for your own country. And I think in this particular case, it works. I mean, that is likely to give us about 21,000 construction jobs and 5,000 permanent jobs when it's operating. So you're likely to create jobs, and you're obviously likely to also create a connection between Durban and Richards Bay, which has not been there. And because I've been part of that industry myself, I do know that at some point there was that frustration that you have a port facility in the Richards Bay, but you can't move products as you wish. And you can't use that particular port as an extra port service for you to actually offload your imports, because in the country we don't produce enough petroleum, and hence we'll always have that surplus that we must address through our imports, and probably this will also cut that particular surplus, because that's literally taking opportunities away, economic opportunities away, because you know that a particular amount per year will have to be imported from the point of petrol, diesel, well, crude. We don't even mind anything here. We buy everything. So those are some of the issues. Thanks.
The question that the Honorable Smith asked about, I think he wanted to ask you about how do you monitor the budget that you transfer to the municipality. Did they? No, I'm not. But let me.
No, she's assisting me wrong.
No, you're assisting me wrong, Che.
Okay.
Yes.
Honorable Chairperson, why do you all assume that we have not heard your questions? Why do you assume that we have not heard your questions? Right, you can hear that he's fighting. Fights that were met on the ground, campaigning. you can't bring that here. They don't work here. So there are you first. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, for the questions that have been put. I will deal with some, and I will also ruthlessly delegate some of the questions to some of the project branch heads present here. Maybe let me start with the question that has been raised by Honorable Smith on the issue of allocation that is done to municipalities. The biggest chunk of our budget, which is almost 1.8 billion and 3 billion, goes respectively to municipalities and Eskom. And the minister and the DM has also made reference about the concern on the current financial modeling that we are using, and we've been requested to review that. That is in terms of passing, becoming a postbox of a special type by simply passing the money. But there are mechanisms and systems in place to monitor the implementation of those projects. One of it is business plans. Before the money is transferred, the accounting officers of the respective entities sign a business plan that is tested and approved, and then it's monitored on monthly basis. That's a system in place as we speak. So I do not transfer money as the accounting officer without first satisfying myself that the business plan is in line with the intended objective of the program. So I do that with all municipalities. And on monthly basis, we receive reports which we check if they're in line with the business plan that we have signed. The same method we use with Eskom, we simply do not transfer money. A similar system is in place. But the point we're making in the presentation is that there are challenges, because once the money is transferred, you are no longer involved in the execution with the respective entity. So at times you'll find that as you do the monitoring, the money has not been used for that, and we have an opportunity to interfere and put corrective measures to deal with that. That's how we manage it. And in the event, Honorable Chairperson and members, the money allocated is not being used, it's sitting, there are no proper plans, maybe because there's a capacity with a particular municipality or with a certain project in Eskom, we are also allowed, because a conditional grant, to interfere and redirect those resources where there are programs. And that principle is also applicable to both municipalities and Eskom. That is the mechanism in place, and it's been working very, very well. So those are the controls we have. We're going to add another control now where we're going to be able to monitor, whilst we're sitting at national level, how those projects are being monitored, and have a dashboard system where we monitor them both electronically as well as physically by doing random visits to them. And I have a team that is dedicated to do that in the department. I wouldn't like to dwell much on the IRP matter. I think the minister has spoken about that, and I think I'll leave that part for minister to elaborate. It was the matter that he raised, and I think he'll be able to handle that one much more better than I am, except to say that the gazetting, as minister has said, we as technocrats were working hard to make sure that the deadline given by the minister, which is the end of September, is realized, having concluded all consultations that are required to do that. The spread of students, bursaries, the DM has dealt with that sufficiently. SOE boards has been dealt with. The issue of municipalities participating in our National Solar Water Heaters program, it's been a very complex program, but we also had a system that we followed to get municipalities to participate to make sure that the principle of fairness across all provinces is adhered to. And I'll ask the program manager, Ms. Mutisa, to deal in depth with that, because it's important to understand from the beginning how we have started the program and how municipalities responded, and unfortunately how other provinces and municipalities did not respond, and how in the process they got excluded by failure of them responding to our RFI that we produced. So I would like Ms. Modisa to deal with that in depth, because I know it's an area that members would always have an interest on. The cost of energy, I'll ask Mbelo to deal with that, or Tabang or that, who are present here, which is a very complex matter as well, because it also involves the role of ESCOM, the role of NERSA, and the role of economics generally. And again, it deals with the question raised about the role that this department has played in the first quarter in terms of the GDP performance, whether declining. The minister has been vocal on this. I don't think I can be able to articulate it better than he has been doing it, and I'm sorry to delegate upward, and it's quite career limiting, but the minister has been dealing with this matter much more effectively. And minister, with all due respect, I'll appreciate if you outline your perspective on this matter as we have been hard on it. And also, it's beginning to give us a new role that is being elevated that we have not been playing on it very effectively, of treating this department as an economic department because of the role that it plays in the economy generally, which is a very important role. So not just a generic technical engineering department, but there's a very important economic responsibility that we have as a department, and the minister has been emphasizing that, and also has been doing analysis on how we have failed to perform in the first quarter and what measures then should be put in place to deal with that. And with due respect, I'd like the minister to deal with that part. With regard to time frames on nuclear, we do have a full document that reflects our time frames, but with specific reference to nuclear. You'll also find that it's contained in our first quarter report on our implementation phases, and it's on page 75. But some of the timelines are there in the document for the APP as we're doing an executive summary. But you'll also have an opportunity on a quarterly basis as we come to present to you to reflect how we have performed in the first quarter, where we have not performed, what measures are we putting in place. You'll have that opportunity. But if you go into detail, you'll find time frames on each and every item that we have spoken about. There's a time frame when it should be due. Where it does not appear, we'll make sure that it does. It's the same comment, Honorable Chairperson, that you raised when Minerals Resources was presenting last week. So I had an opportunity to be present as well. So we'll make sure that in all items, time frames are very important, because it gives you an opportunity to exercise your oversight much more effectively on the work that we're doing on the ground. But the nuclear one, as I've indicated, is on page 75 of the document. The lack of specific skills is an issue that we are concerned about. We have made that as a comment. It's a very hardcore technical department. We are doing our level best. The minister has been hard on us. I think for the first time we've been asked to declare the kind of skills we possess. The minister can tell you, everyone present in this room, what skills do we all have and how relevant those skills are to make us to be able to execute our responsibility. So it's a matter we're taking very seriously. But we're identifying areas where there's a lack of skills or the level of academic skill required that does not exist. And what are we going to be doing with that? They're starting from the DG level downwards. So no one, there's no exception into that category. So we're busy with that, and some of us have already received instructions to go to school, because schools are open for everyone, irrespective of age. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter we're taking very seriously, understanding the important assignment that this department is faced with, and we're putting measures in place to deal with that. And the minister has given us that directive without any sense of ambiguity. I think those are the issues I can deal with, and I've delegated some to colleagues to respond to, with your permission, Chairperson and the minister.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just greet the Minister and Deputy Minister and members of the Select Committee. In responding to the question on the participation of municipalities, let me indicate that the program is allocated differently from the other two big programs, such as INEP and Energy Efficiency and Demand Side Management. It's not allocated through the Division of Revenue Act. However, in terms of the project planning, before end of August, there is a request for information that is being issued to municipalities to respond. Particularly is to address and assess the status of the state of readiness in municipalities to participate. And looking at the criteria in the main, one of the limiting factors to some of the municipalities to participate, and particularly the ones that are in rural or small municipalities, is household water reticulation. Because if the households are not reticulated, they cannot participate. Based on the limited budget allocation, if they are to participate, there has to be a component of the program where water reticulation is added to the program. So meaning that we have to work very close with human settlements or even municipalities so that it aligns with the mandate of energy in terms of providing water. So that's one limitation. The second part, in 2013-14, there was a request for information that municipalities were requested to respond to. The municipalities that you see as identified are the ones that have responded accordingly. In addition to the criteria, we request municipalities to propose or recommend to their councils to approve that participation. This takes into account the consideration of the previous phase in terms of closing some of the gaps. So a municipality has to submit a council resolution in terms of the approval to participate on the program. They have to identify those areas within their jurisdiction area that should be part of the program, as well as identify the learners that should participate. So before end of 2019 August, in preparation of the 2020-2021 financial year, an RFI would be issued, the same process that we're following on INEP as well as the Energy Efficiency and Demand Side Management, and we're using the platform for AMEU as well as SALGA and direct to the municipalities in the current financial year, because we received a lot of queries for those that did not participate or could not go through. We're intending to even advertise it on Sunday time, so that we outreach as much as is required. So basically, at a high level, the criteria of water reticulation is what is limiting most of the municipalities, particularly those that have stand pipe as opposed to water within the house. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The most asked question in the department is, Baba Zulu, upasabani esikolweni. Then the teacher says this. Then you go to mineral resources, same question. Mineral resources, lawyers. Then they're told, you're not forcing the department for serving, you're preparing it for litigation. So that is the most asked question, because we want the department to be responsive, to be relevant, to act on issues that talk to people. Now, IRP, is it available? IRP was public for public comment. It has gone to NEDLAC. That process, that's the tail end. My information is that unions are not agreeing among themselves on certain issues. But almost there, then it will come out. Once it comes out, that's why we put September as our deadline. It's a self-imposed deadline, that September, is that once we have it, everybody will have access to it. It will have to go back to cabinet, it has to be re-gazetted and all that and all that. So you all get it. It is there. At this point in time, it is not yet a policy document. It is a draft policy document. On the forensic audit, I said About a week ago, we received the final forensic report on the strategic fuel, and we're going through it and determine what action to take. The reason that we're not releasing it publicly is because there may be requirements that there should be litigation in certain instances. So we must manage it with care and guard it carefully and not subject it to public justice system, which is in the Twitter and in the WhatsApp groups. It should be managed carefully because it affects serious parties which can actually put us into trouble if we're reckless. Students, let me add this, Comrade Nyambi. Every year the department, we found that system there, we think it's a good system. They alternate coastal provinces and inland provinces every year. So this year was the turn for coastal provinces, but hosted by an inland province. Next year will be inland provinces hosted by one coastal province. That's how it works. That's why those bursaries will be spread throughout the provinces, because all of them are given an opportunity to participate. But what we are doing is to consolidate the work that is done in energy with the work done in mineral, so that we have a bigger bursary scheme available to students. And the more we get, the better. And it talks to the question of lack of specific skills, because when you allocate bursaries, you can deliberately say, we'll allocate this number of bursaries for people who pursue the following skills. That was short of. The acting boards, they haven't answered that question. But I must add, last weekend we advertised the first set. We're not going to stop, we're going to continue. We'll advertise a board and then a CEO. A board and then a CEO. But what we don't want is to have a situation where very important institutions that are under jurisdiction of this department cannot take firm decisions. They fear taking decisions, they're not sure whether they're supported or not, and all that. We're attending to that issue. We are saying to the department, the starting point is to focus. If we don't have focus, we should not be all over, and we've identified a question of good governance as an immediate point of focus. And that is what we're paying our attention to. On the... We have an outstanding meeting with the NERSA board, because we are raising with them a very important issue, the cost of electricity, but not to the end user. We've thrown at them a question that says, what is the point of connecting everybody if those people have connection but they can't use electricity? It's too expensive for them. And I gave them an example of a village, not in Elliot Day, in Kala this time. I said, in that village, I walked through that, I thought that almost every hut is connected. But every hut has paraffin and gas, because it is expensive to cook with electricity. Then we basically use electricity for lighting. And that question has been posed to NERSA. We're going to meet them. When we come back here, we'll be cleverer in terms of answering that question. So it's a question that has been asked already. The question of IRP and PPPs, yes, IPPs, okay, I wrote IPPs, yes, okay, I was going to tag you on that, because if you open yourself up, I can't miss that opportunity of tagging you on the, okay, the IPPs. I think our witness as South Africans is that we got obsessed with concepts, you know, very obsessed with concepts. The question of literal interpreting that markets allocate resources efficiently is an obsession. It is not perfectly working when you deal with public goods. Electricity is such a good. it's a public good. It should be money so that we ensure access to it. That's why, as a department, we've raised the Kenya administered prices in the bigger economic debate, that the state must be able to use prices that are under its control to ensure that you target economic activity and economic growth. That's where we are with that. But at this point in time, the debate about whether we can access electricity from anywhere they want is a possible issue. But it means that we'll have to go back to the ISMO bill so that transmission becomes such a facilitator of market access and therefore charge the various suppliers. Then if you want to buy to IPPs, you buy into IPPs, it is well through by the transmission, that's it. It's a possibility, it's an issue that is discussed. But that transmission should not be sold off from ESCOM. It should be controlled by the state because it is quite an important facility of the state. But again, another question that I've asked Honorable DM here, Honorable Bavelin. I said to her, I'm an old person, a product of arithmetic. Useful doesn't mean intelligent, unfortunately. It can mean that. And I said to her, try to explain me in simple mathematics. Why are we obsessed about the price of electricity, of IPPs being cheap and so forth? Because ESCOM buys that electricity from IPPs at 2 rand 22 cents. But it sells it at 89 cents. And I wanted her to give me a mathematical explanation of how efficient that is. She's trying, I'm not being convinced. She brought to me a concept so-called averages. And I said, okay, go on. And I took her back to Charles.
But why are you giving this?
Leave. I took her to Charles Dickens. And I said, so an old man there called Mikoba was giving advice to Copperfield. And he said, he qualified, he put a disclaimer for saying, I'm giving you an advice that I myself never used, but I'm giving to you. If you earn £20 and your expense is £20 or 10 sixpence, the result is misery. If you have your income as £20 and your expense is £19 or 10 sixpence, the result is happiness. So she is working very hard to give me a clear, simpler mathematical explanation of 22 cents and sell at 89 cents. And that is the issue about the renewables today. The promise that next time there will be 50 cents, there will be 40 cents, a promise. The most efficient electricity supply, cost-effective, efficient, reliable, at this point in time is Quebec. Okay. Today, as we sit here together, Quebec, cost-effective, reliable, efficient, that is it. It's a nuclear power station. And somebody told us that it is expensive. We had to explain to that person that it is expensive at commissioning and at decommissioning. That's why if we extend the life of Quebec by another 20 years, that is going to make a positive contribution. But this is what we asked the department to do. Let's look into plans to replace that capacity. Let's not wait for 2044. Let's think now. And that's why I went through the list of power stations. We can give you the names. The report is having them. On the... I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back because No, let me give you that. Because nuclear is not 9,600. That was debated about the Russian deal. You can bring nuclear in modular form. That is what we said when we resolved that. We'll acquire it in a pace and price that the country can afford. So we can't rule it out and think that there is one particular solution. Because Germany took that route, and it ended up dependent on France for its base load. We don't have France as a neighbor. Let me move towards the end. Energy contribution to the GDP. Energy in the first quarter of this year declined by 6.6% as a sector, and that contributed 0.1% to the overall 3.2% decline in the GDP. That is what it is. It declined as a sector by 6.6%. That 6.6% was 0.1% contribution to the overall 3.2% decline. And if you pull it together with mining, which declined by 10.8%, that 10.8% of mining translated into 0.8% contribution to the overall 3.2. So we do that analysis because we see ourselves as an economic department. We must keep our eyes on the ball in the economic performance of this, of the sectors and our jurisdiction. I think that is it. What else do I do? There's nothing I leave. I can assure you that we take NSUP serious. Okay? I can assure you on that. We take NSUP serious. It cannot be true that we never came to the Select Committee for mining last year. It's not true. Okay, fine. That's not an issue. But the issue is that I'm assuring you we take the NSUP serious. But let me put a complaint as well. You know, in the budget, for mineral and energy. In the NA, we were given 70 minutes. In the NCOP, we were given 25 minutes. Who is not taking what serious? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister and Honorable Members and the team that you are leading, Honorable Minister. I can see you are taking us serious. I can see you. Don't listen to anybody who is saying you are not taking them serious.
Commander.
Don't take them serious. They are the ones that they are not taking themselves serious. Members, we hope this meeting went well. Explain. Okay. Is it?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I just want to follow up in terms of thank you for the response on the conditional grants. But I think it's important for us also to know where the problem areas exist in terms of non-spending, in terms of problematic spending, so that we can actually address that. So I want to request, you know, even if it's in writing form, if we can get, you know, there is only 200 and something municipalities, where is the problem areas? Where do we need to go and scratch a little bit and go and see what's going on there? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chair and members, we will be doing it on a quarterly basis. We have dealt with the first quarter, and I must just indicate that in the first quarter we are quite generous. We are not very strict on our approach because some municipalities, they have technical capacities. We get very strict on the second quarter because we will have assessed the performance of those municipalities. Then we'll give you a picture then, and we'll be very specific in which individual municipality there are challenges and what is the nature of those challenges.
Mr. Zulu, and thank you very much. At least we are on time to have our talk. Let me take this opportunity to thank the Minister and the Deputy Minister for presenting to us Vote 26. Is it 26? Yeah, Vote 26 of Energy. You know, this Energy and Mineral Minister is a very, very crucial issue that everybody is looking at your department. The whole world, the whole country is looking at you, Minister. The performance of the department is very critical and is crucial to everybody. Without your department, there is no life. So you must understand when we demand or at some point we say we want this and this and this, is because where we come from, people are crying outside about the issue of energy, the price of energy, the price of the issue of mineral, both. So I'm saying thank you very much, the presenters, the acting CFO, and Tade Zulu, and Tade, everybody who participated in this meeting. It was an eye-open, because when you go back to our provinces or the municipality that we are representing here, we will be able to tell them for what is happening in that department, especially the rural area, people that maybe they don't even have the TVs or they don't have the time to, they don't even have money to buy the newspaper. So we'll be able to tell them what is happening in that department and then what are the opportunities that are there. That are there in that department. So thank you very much. And keep it up to come to us, Minister and Deputy Minister. I think this meeting, the department can leave us so that we can remain for, but before, maybe Minister wants to say something. You are fine. The members, members, you must not leave so that we can deal with the issue of the report quickly in 5 minutes.
So, he's a little grandfather. Who's the secretary? Who can I send the details to?
Talk to
Nachi.
Good.
Members, honorable members, because we don't have time, let's go through to the minutes, the report first, so that we can finish early. Honorable Jomo,
thank you. Chair, I propose that we agree as per the report in front of us that we have concluded the deliberations with the Department of Minerals and Resources, but today is focusing on energy. Thanks, Chair.
Seconder? Any seconder? Honorable Chair? No? Honorable Ngwenya?
No, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson. I second the proposal.
Now we are going to the set of the minutes. The last minutes for last week, the 9th July meeting. Honorable Jomo.
I move that we adopt the minutes, a true reflection of what transpired in our meeting last week on Tuesday. Chairperson, thank you.
Any seconder? Honorable B.B.?
Yes, Chair, I second for the adoption of the minutes.
No, thanks. It means we have we are done with the today's business. Go and prepare yourself for debate, honorable members.
Thank you.